All right, this will be part 7 in our series, and just to give you a quick review of what we looked at last time we were together, we took some time and we looked at the background and the history of what a physical stronghold represented, and we looked in history and we observed some of the physical walls that were built to protect the armies and the cities and the inhabitants of the cities. And then we took and we compared a physical stronghold to that of a spiritual stronghold and how it can keep things out, how you can hide behind it, and how also attacks can be made from these strongholds. We saw that a physical stronghold was a point of operation where attacks were waged from. We saw that they were hard to remove. The bigger, the stronger, the better they were, the harder it was to get to the inhabitants inside. And we saw that considerable effort had to be exerted to remove these strongholds. We saw also in comparing this that a spiritual stronghold is also a point of operation from where Satan can keep the believer captive or incapacitated. He can attack the believer's mind and wage war on the word of God in the believer's mind. If Satan builds strongholds in your mind, and for instance, a stronghold of doubt, if the word of God's trying to get in there and Satan's here and he's whispering in your ear to doubt that truth that you're learning, he can then have a great influence on what you're going to believe or how much of God's word you're actually going to apply. Because if it is in fact God's word that you need to deliver you, if the devil can get you to doubt that word of God in that particular area, he can stop you from receiving God's deliverance. We also saw that God sets the rules of engagement when it comes to doing spiritual battle. And we saw that God listed two options in which we could do battle by. And they were listed in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The first option was by the flesh. The second option was by the spirit. There are the two ways that you can do battle. By the flesh never wins in a spiritual battle. It's always got to be God's way. I read to you the New Jerusalem Bible's translation of 2 Corinthians 10:3, and again, I'll read it to you. For although we are human, it is not by human methods that we do battle. I told you that if you're going to serve the one true God and walk in the way that he wants you to walk, you have to learn to do it his way. You can't do it your way. It can't be your will. It can't be your feelings. It can't be how you want to do things. You have to yield yourself to God so that God can then take you and bring you to the place where he would have you to be. I also told you that if you constantly lose your peace over something or someone, chances are that you have erected a stronghold in your life. And the chances are that that stronghold, among others, probably has unforgiveness at the root. There may be bitterness, there may be anger, there may be a lot of other things, but unforgiveness is a big one. I told you to be weary of the lie that the adversary will tell you, out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind sometimes is just an intellectual way of being able to ignore the situation or the problem, not deal with it. And I told you that I personally believe that most strongholds in life are built because of some degree of unforgiveness. Now, we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to pick up again in verse 3. And this is the King James Version, 2 Corinthians 10:3. And the scripture says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We learned God's rules of engagement. And here, if we're going to engage in spiritual warfare, we must learn to do it God's way, not our way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Remember the example I gave you last segment about the soldier, John Rambo, and how I told you how he trained to become a soldier and the different doctrine that was given to him. And then remember I gave you some examples from the Bible that completely contradicted how Rambo was trained. And Rambo then had to make a decision. He had to make a decision. Was he going to do it his way or was he going to do it God's way? You'll remember that I told you Rambo prided himself on being the best at what he did. So he has a stronghold of pride. He has a stronghold of self-sufficiency, which a soldier needs to have. However, when you come to the Bible and the Bible says, recompense no man evil for evil, that completely contradicts what Rambo learned, because Rambo just guts people. That's how he takes a hostile offense. But then you get to the Bible teaches something different. So he's got a real problem in his mind. And you also remember I told you that maybe these strongholds that we have built in our past have kept us alive or have kept us from harm. And now we got to let these things go that we trusted in. We trusted in our bitterness. We trusted in our anger. We trusted in our self-confidence. We trusted in our unforgiveness to keep the hurt out, to just condemn and judge people. And now we come to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures teach us we have to trust in God and we have to let this stuff go. That's a hard decision to make. I'm not telling you it's not a hard thing to do, okay? I know it's a hard thing to do, and I'm not telling you because you need to hear this. I'm telling you because God wants everybody to hear it, including myself. I deal with these things too. I'm just as human as you are, sometimes more in a negative way. Verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Since it's a spiritual battle, we must use spiritual weapons. If it was a carnal battle, we could fight with fleshly weapons, like Rambo. Fleshly weapons, if it was a fleshly war, you would have a gun. You could have a knife. You could have a hand grenade. You can get a ball bat when someone gives you a hard time. And if it was a fleshly war, what do? Whack them upside the head with the ball bat, right? Well, we can't do that because it's not a fleshly war. As much as we want to, right? And as much as Rambo would want to, and he's trained to do it, we can't do that. We have to understand that it's a spiritual battle. The Word of God teaches us that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. It's not a Nick versus Rambo competition here. It's a spiritual competition. It's a spiritual battle. The New Jerusalem translates verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10 as thus, the weapons with which we do battle are not those of human nature, but they have the power in God's cause to demolish fortresses. It is ideas that we demolish. Here, this translation opens up a little better understanding of what we're fighting against. It's not that we're battling by human nature, but we have to use God's spiritual enablements, and it's to destroy these fortresses. It's ideas, it's thoughts, it's concepts, it's beliefs that we hold that we have to demolish. Now, this is where God's people really get mixed up. many born-again believers are still utilizing carnal weapons to do spiritual battle. Many born-again believers are still utilizing carnal weapons to do spiritual battle, to wage spiritual warfare. And as long as they continue to walk by the flesh, they will never demolish their strongholds, or they will never demolish the strongholds of others. Let's take Rambo once again. Let's say Rambo gets himself born again. He gets inside the church. He starts to learn about God and about Jesus Christ and about the love of God. And he wants to become a Christian. So he's a young Christian walking, growing in the church. Now, another believer comes along. We're going to call this believer Yukon. Yukon offends Rambo. He says something dumb. He does something dumb. He eats the last chocolate chip cookie on the plate before Rambo can get one, and he's already had three. Something dumb. Now, Rambo, according to verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10, has two ways he can respond to this cookie-eating saint. Cookie two. He can either respond man's way, or he can respond God's way. He can either respond by the flesh, or he can either respond by what? The Spirit. Now, if Rambo responds to this offense, he may become angry. Now, he realizes he's a Christian. Before, when he became angry, what did he do? He would what? Kill his offender, right? But now he's a Christian inside the church, and it's a cookie. And you don't want to go and kill offenders. He may kill him with a gun or with a knife or in any other number of ways. That's how he's used to responding to a hostile aggression. He may beat him. However, but he's in the church now, and he knows he can't do that. But if he's still got these habit patterns in his mind, you know what he can do? He can beat him with his tongue. And this is a carnal way to deal with the offense. This is a carnal way to deal with the offense. He may say something harsh back to Yukon because Yukon took the cookie. That would be a cardinal way to deal with it. Another cardinal way to deal with Yukon because he took the cookie is that he may ignore Yukon at church. He may sit in the same pew, like these two right here. But just because they're sitting together don't mean that they're going to pay attention to each other. They may just look straight ahead, may smile pleasantly, but just ignore. He may try to destroy Yukon's credibility with others. He may go around to every person in church and say, "If I were you, I'd watch my cookies." And then he may not say his name, but he might go like this. Right? Or he might go around and say, "If I were you, as soon as he says amen, I'd get up there and get some refreshments." Right? These are all carnal ways to deal with a hurt heart. See, Rambo's got a hurt heart. What hurt his heart? Somebody took his cookie. So now he starts to build a wall around his heart because he doesn't want his heart to get hurt anymore. And so the wall he builds around his heart, the biggest one that starts all this, is unforgiveness. Then he's got resentment. Then he's got revenge. Then he's got tail-bearing. Then he's got backbiting. He's got all these things. But it all stems because Yukon took his cookie. Now, the chances are Yukon didn't even know he took the dumb cookie. because Yukon just likes to eat. And it wouldn't matter if it was Rambo or if it was Susie. He would have took the cookie because that's the kind of guy Yukon is. He didn't mean any harm by it. Or maybe he did mean harm by it. The point is, he ate the cookie. If Rambo does not respond in a spiritual way, he's going to respond in old man nature. He may backbite. He may gossip about Yukon. And before you know what happens? After church, everybody's over this corner, and Yukon's over here by himself, and he's wondering what's going on. Right? And this is all over a what? Stupid cookie. See, this is what I mean when I say that many born-again believers are still using carnal weapons to do spiritual battle. Their way of dealing with hurt, their way of dealing with the offense that was committed against them, whether it was committed intentionally or unintentionally, they perceive it as an offense. Their way is a cardinal way. We're instructed in Corinthians that we don't war after the flesh, that the weapons of our warfare have to be what kind of weapons? Spiritual weapons. Cardinal weapons are backbiting, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger. They're cardinal weapons. They're not spiritual weapons. If an offense was committed, what would be the spiritual protocol that needs to be followed? And where would that be located? In the what? Bible. Because Jesus Christ knows offenses are going to happen. Because the ministry would be perfect if it weren't for the people, right? But God knows that we make mistakes. So offenses are going to happen. Remember the story I told you about the porcupines and how they got in the cave and it was winter? And you know, porcupines got these prickly things, right? Quilts. And you get too close to them, what happens? Uncomfortable, right? So you got to make a decision. You got a whole family of porcupines and it's cold out. They got to do what? Snuggle together to keep warm so they live. So they had to learn to put up with each other's irritations a little bit for the greater good, which was what? Survival of the porcupine family. Right? Speaking of porcupines, this is what my son, who goes to college, by the way, does. He looks at a dumpster at the college. It's a trade of ours. And in the dumpster, there's four raccoons, a family. So what does he do? He gets his camera, and he's got to take a picture of these raccoons so he can show everybody there's raccoons living in the dumpster. I told him, raccoons aren't supposed to be out during the day. There's something wrong with those raccoons. Porcupines. You have to be able to put up with a little bit of irritation when you're in the church if you're going to enjoy the warmth and the strength of the other porcupines in church. The spiritual protocol that God gives us to handle offenses is recorded in Matthew chapter 18, and it's there. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn Matthew 18, because this is so important for us and for any Christian group that endeavors to do something for God, that has a bunch of porcupines in the church, because once in a while we get too close to each other's quilts and we may prick you, but not on purpose. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, we read, "Moreover, if thy brother shall offend against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will hear not thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Verse 17. "And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." here in Matthew 18, verses 15 and following, we have the correct procedure set for us by Jesus Christ Himself on how to handle offenses inside the church. The Word of God teaches that first you go to your brother or sister alone in Christ and you talk to them about the problem. Okay? The NIV of Matthew 18:15 reads, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over." You go and you talk to the individual alone. So Rambo was offended. Rambo now needs to go to UConn, because if he's going to do what Matthew 18 says, greater than that, if he's going to do what Jesus Christ Himself said to do, he's going to have to go to UConn alone. And he's going to have to say, "Hey, UConn, something wrong here. You know, there were 33 cookies back there when fellowship was over, and by the time I got back to them, you ate the last one." And chances are UConn will say, "You know what? I'm a pig. I admit it. I am so sorry." And that's the end of it. But if Rambo doesn't do that, if he turns around and he starts to build strongholds around his house or his heart about bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and all these other things, he's never going to go to UConn, is he? He's just going to start running these videos through his mind. You know what happens when you start running videos through your mind after a while? They play by themselves. They don't need you to run them no more. They just come on whenever they feel like it. We got this TV thing upstairs, a DVD thing, and you know what it does at 12 o'clock every night? It comes on or it goes off. It does something weird. 12 o'clock, whether it resets for whatever, even if it's off, it does this weird thing. And that's what happens to these videos. And the devil will make sure that they get played over and over and over again. Well, what happens if UConn responds this way? He says, "Look, I don't want to hear about it. That cookie was there for anybody to have. It was fair bait, so I just took it." Did the problem get resolved? No. Rambo's upset because the cookie got eaten. UConn ate the cookie, and he didn't get the answer that he expected to get. So according to the scriptures, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to get two or three more believers, and he's supposed to go back to UConn and try again. You see, you don't ignore the matter. You don't excuse the matter. This is what Rambo's now is faced with. Okay, I tried. He don't want to hear. He's a hardhead. He's Italian. He ain't never going to listen. So you know what? The H with him. I'm just going to ignore him. That's how he's going to deal with it. I'm going to ignore him. So he builds this stronghold. He's going to ignore him. That's not how you get the problem resolved. Is the problem fixed? No. So biblically, now what he's got to do is he's got to get two people or three people, and he's got to go back and say, "Oh, well, I'd like to talk about this further because I don't feel it's getting resolved." And then you get back together and you discuss the problem or the offense. Okay. Now, Jesus said to get a couple people, two, three, couple, whatever, and try again. All right? You have no right. Listen, you have no right to go outside and tell anybody else before you go and you tell the person who offended you. And then you have no right to go outside and tell anybody else until you get the two or three witnesses and go back and follow the spiritual protocol that Jesus Christ set down for us to handle offenses. The reason that we want to continue to do this is so that we can keep harmony and peace in the church. The point is, we got to get the need met. We got to get the problem resolved. If we don't get the problem resolved, the problem is going to sink the boat sooner or later. Okay? You don't go out to sea with a hole in the boat and you knowing there's a hole in the boat. Okay? You just know that that's going to spring up, and it's going to spring up at the most uninvited time. Matthew 18, verse 16 in the New International reads, "But if he will not listen, take two or three others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." You see? So you take a couple other people along, two or three others. Because if it has to come out later, UConn can say, "I didn't say that." But if you have two or three witnesses, the witnesses can say what? "I'm sorry, yes, you did." You understand? Or Rambo could say, "Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say I was going to cut his throat." Right? But the two or three witnesses said, "Well, you know, yes, you did." The point is, you're moving down the progression of what Jesus Christ wants you to do. Now, after verse 16 says, "So that it may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses," it says, if that doesn't work, go and start talking behind his back. Is that what it says? No. It says, curse him. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, ignore him. No. It says, find another church. It doesn't say that either, does it? 1,000 times, no, it doesn't. All those ways to ignore, to curse, to backbite, to run away. You think run away could be a stronghold? To hide behind so you don't have to deal with it? See? And it's all because his heart was broken. He was offended. So instead of getting the need met, instead of getting the problem resolved, he builds a stronghold and now, you know, he wants to run. Or he wants to justify that he's right and he has a right to this hurt. That he has a right, or she has a, well, in this case it's Rambo for the cookie, that he has a right to hold on to this hurt, to justify his actions. And really, all the veneer peeled away, what's it all stem from? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. The whole point of the matter set forth in Matthew 18 is to get a godly resolution. Do what you need to do according to the scriptures to get a godly resolution. Get the problem repaired. Remember, who do we wrestle against? Is it flesh and blood? Is it Rambo and UConn fighting over a cookie? Who is the one, the only one, that would profit by keeping UConn and Rambo at odds? Satan. That's it. He's the one. He's the only one that's going to have any profit or pleasure out of keeping UConn and Rambo at odds. The New Living Translation of Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 reads, "If that person," speaking about Rambo, "still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. If the church decides you are right, but the other person won't accept it, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector." You go to the individual alone. Rambo goes to UConn. He says, "You ate the cookie. You had 28 of them. I just wanted one. You ate the cookie." UConn turns around and says to Rambo, "So what?" He doesn't see it. So Rambo says, "Well, that's not nice." And UConn says, I don't care. Rambo says, okay. Goes, prays about it, gets a couple more believers. After the next fellowship, three believers approach UConn. Hey, you got a minute? Yeah, sure. You know, last week, such and such, and I've seen you do this before, and you ate the cookie. You didn't say no cookies for anybody here. So, you should be faster on your feet to get the cookies. Well, okay, but that's not really the love of God. And we want to share here. It's supposed to be a family. It's supposed to be a common table. And, you know, every time you get back there, it's just like a big Hoover vacuum cleaner. Before we know it, there's no cookies left. Well, I got a right to eat them cookies just like anybody else does. And I can't help it if you're all over there blabbing your blah, 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 blah. Especially the women. Hey, it's UConn, right? Especially the women, you know how they talk. And by the time they get them, me, 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 the cookies are gone. Now, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. Them cookies are there. I'm going to eat them. Got to go. There's a cookie convention in town. Not resolved, right? So what do you do? Comes in next time. You know what, UConn? The church has something we want to say to you. We want to talk to you about something. You know, Rambo came to you. He tried to work this out as a brother lovingly. Susie, Bill, and Pete came with Rambo. They tried to help you see this thing, help work this thing out, make sure. You don't want to hear that. Now the whole church is here. What do you got to say? We're only asking you to share the cookies with us. UConn says, I don't have to share. Where is that written in the Bible that I got to share the cookies? Give me the chapter and verse. Just because you guys are old and can't get to the cookie table fast. Right? So right about now, we're looking for the dog so we can get tomatoes to throw at this guy, right? So you try to work it out. If it doesn't work it out, he says you treat him as if he was a publican, a pagan, or a corrupt tax collector. In other words, you can't extend the right arm of fellowship to him that you would a brethren. Not that you hate him, but you can't extend the right arm of fellowship to him, and you can't, you know, expect him to act properly within the church. And there's other things that may need to be taken care of also in further steps. But usually, it doesn't go that far. My experience in life is, you know, usually the first time around, it's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Because, you know, if your person's got a good heart, and we all have good hearts, or we wouldn't be here, but we all make mistakes. But you see, it's when you let it fester, and it's when you ignore the words of the Lord Jesus, and you don't follow what you need to follow to get the problem resolved, that the adversary is able to build all these strongholds in your mind, and then he keeps you away from getting the problem resolved. If you got a problem with someone, especially in the church, not only in the church, just anybody, you need to take care of it. Get it taken care of. And then you know what? Let it go. Bible says it's okay to be angry. He knows we're going to be angry. But the word says don't let the sun go down on your what? Your wrath. Don't let it continue. So you know what that means? If we were to follow that, every one of us, every one of us would be burying it daily. There would be no reason. If each one of us literally followed the word of God, not a one of us would be mad at each other more than a day. And you'd have to pee me off as soon as I got up, if that's in my 24-hour period, just to even fit in that 24-hour period. Right? Think about that. If we follow the word literally, none of us would be angry at each other for more than a day. Which, okay, did what I had to do. Got on my pity pot, now it's time to flush and get off, right? That's what we should do. That's what the scripture teaches us to do. Listen, until you have completed the instructions set forth by Jesus Christ, you have no right to run your mouth about anybody. Until you've went to him individually, until you've went with witnesses, until you've brought it before the church, you have no right to go and say anything to anybody. And you want to know something else? According to the scripture, even after you've done all these things, you still don't have a right to trash them. Do you? No. In other words, you don't have any right, period. Nor do I. We don't. Now, you know, we get trapped up and we get caught up in this junk. But unless we stay spiritually on top of things, the adversary will take us down a road that we don't want to go. Because if you start doing it here, it's going to spill over into other areas of life. And then we're going to start doing it with each other. It's easy to point the finger, you know. Can you begin to see now how Rambo would be tempted to build a stronghold around his heart to refuse to obey God's word? Right? What type of stronghold would that be called? Disobedience. Right? Disobedience. I took a Greek class, believe it or not. That's Greek. It's Greek to me too. He got offended. He wants to hold on to his anger. He wants his anger, listen, he wants his anger to be a memorial for the hurt that is inside his heart. So he wants to erect it, and he wants it there for everyone to see. Because this is my memorial to myself, to my hurt. Because every time I look on this, every time I have this anger, it reminds me of what? My hurt. And I deserve to be able to hold on to this hurt. I deserve to be able to hold on to my anger. This is how he justifies it. So you see all this junk, it just builds one on another. Now God's word says what? Forgive. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has what? Forgiven you. Now there's the scripture. Now Rambo hears the scripture. Now, what's he going to do? He's either going to do what the Word of God says, or he's going to do what? He's going to build a stronghold of disobedience around it. And what else is going to be there? Anger, bitterness, etc., etc., etc. And it all stems from what? Unforgiveness. Had he forgiven UConn for eating the cookie, none of that junk would have been there. So now, instead of just forgiving and moving on, right? Forgiving, moving on. Two things. Now what's he got to do? He's got to deal with unforgiveness. He's got to deal with justification. He's got to deal with running away. He's got to deal with bitterness. He's got to deal with disobedience. He's got all these things. Now he's got a whole list to do. You know, you go to shopping, you got a list. That now he's got a whole list. All he had to do was, what did it say? When you're angry, sin not, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Just dump it, bury it. Now here's another thing, if you know anything about anger. Anger puts your body in a stress mode. And it does all kinds of goofy things inside of there that makes you not feel good. Then you don't sleep right, and you get ulcers, and you get all these kind of things. And so, you know what's happening to Rambo? He's not only angry, his belly's twisted in knots, he's got ulcers, and you know what UConn's doing? UConn's going down to the Stroman's factory buying himself a box of cookies. Yeah, comfortably, right? UConn may not even know he offended Rambo. But Rambo, he's just all knotted up, twisted up inside. So who's the ones that getting the torture, the pain? Who's suffering over all this? Rambo is. Rambo. UConn gets some warm milk, dips his cookie in, and goes to bed. Right? Sure, it's right. some of the common strongholds that Rambo would be faced with in dealing with UConn: unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, rivalry. All these, listen, I'm going to tie it together. All these things belong to the flesh. They are weapons of the flesh. Our weapons are not cardinal. All these things, all these ways, the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, these are all weapons of the what? Flesh. This is how Rambo is endeavoring to do spiritual battle. He goes into the spiritual battleground using what kind of weapons? Fleshly, carnal weapons. Got it? Because this is what Rambo was trained to depend on. His anger, his bitterness, his unforgiveness. You understand? You take someone, there are a lot of cardinal weapons. You could take someone who's real smart, they just use their intellect as a cardinal weapon. You take someone who's real manipulative, they just go around like a little snake in the grass, lower than a pregnant ant's belly, using that. There are all different cardinal ways to deal with a spiritual problem. But the outcome is always the same. They're wrong. God tells us we do not war after the flesh. If we warred after the flesh, Rambo would be able to be mad, right? He'd be able to be justified. He'd be able to hold unforgiveness, but we don't war that way. The weapons that Rambo has to use are not weapons of bitterness, not weapons of unforgiveness. The weapons that he has to use are spiritual in nature. That's his decision. All of these ways belong to the flesh. And we do not engage in spiritual warfare according to the flesh. The two don't mix. They don't mix. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 again. Look at it. For the weapons of our warfare are not. They are absolutely not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, the only way you're going to demolish a stronghold, listen, verse tells you this, the only way you're going to demolish a stronghold is through who? God. That's what the verse tells you. Not your way. Not your thoughts. Remember in the New Jerusalem says, because what we battle are thoughts, or ideas. Oh, I got an idea. Did you ever do that when you were little? So-and-so did such-and-such, sure, or they ate your cookie right there, and then you all sit around and say, I got an idea how we can get them back. Cratchit. Cratchit made a big Grinch smile from ear to ear when I said that. You know what that means? Guilty as charged. Right? You all sit around and say, hey, we can do this, we can do that. You know what that is? That's cardinal weapons. That's cardinal warfare. That's not spiritual thinking. That's not spiritual warfare. That's cardinal. The English Standard Version of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says this, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience to obey Christ. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that is raised against the knowledge of God. Okay, what are some arguments? What are some lofty opinions that Rambo needs to demolish? How about the argument that he has a right to be angry at UConn? How about the lofty opinion that he has a right to hold a grudge against UConn? We're supposed to destroy these things because these are contrary to what God wants us to do and how God wants us to act. How about the lofty opinion that Rambo has that he has a right to hold on to his unforgiveness? How about the argument that Rambo has that he has a right to be bitter, that he has a right to ignore UConn? These are in his mind. These are his thoughts. These are his opinions. These are the arguments that he rehearses in his mind, and then they eventually run by themselves. These are the videos that he plays to justify his response, an ungodly response, towards Yukon. See how it works? But the Word of God says we are to destroy. We are to destroy these things. That's the way of the flesh. That's how you wage war according to the flesh. That's the cardinal way. But God says our weapons aren't cardinal weapons. They're spiritual weapons. We don't war according to the flesh. We war according to the what? Spirit. You got to make up your mind. How are you going to do it? It's easy to go down the flesh road. It's easy to be bitter. It's easy to be angry. It's easy to hold a grudge. It's easy to be unforgiving. Anybody can do that. Shoot. It's easy to do that. It takes some work to do it God's way. It takes some work to destroy these strongholds, because these strongholds, these walls that are built, are strong. They're there to protect. So it's going to take some resolve. Spiritually speaking, Paul defines strongholds as an argument or a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So every one of these strongholds that Rambo has built in his life, you know what it is? It's an argument, or it's a high thing. And you know what it does? It puts itself here, and you know where it puts God and his word? Down here. As long as it pleases Rambo, he's going to do what he wants to do, regardless of what God says about it. Now, how long do you think he's going to be able to get away with that? Let me tell you, a lifetime. A lifetime. You all know people who've gotten away with it for a lifetime, right? Because they just refuse to let it go. They can hold on to their bitterness. They can hold on to their opinions. They can hold on to their anger a lifetime. Because God is a fair God, and he gives you free will. And he wants you to love him because it's your free will decision, not because he's going to sit there with a board and whack you upside the head if you don't. You got a spouse? You want to trust that spouse. You want that spouse to love you out of their heart. You don't have to be worrying about beating that spouse or checking up on that spouse. What kind of relationship is that? Well, if we can expect that, don't you think God Almighty deserves as much? Out of the freedom of your heart, because you love and the goodness that he has given to us? If you're going to be serious about this thing, you got to get honest with yourself, and we got to be honest with each other. You need to be able to identify the stronghold in your life before you can demolish them. And if you're in denial or in refusal that there's something there, you're never going to get past first base. You have to first identify it and accept that it's there. That doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you abused by the devil. It makes you used by the devil. It makes you tricked. Once you're aware of it, you can recover yourself. That's what the scripture says, that a minister is supposed to help people recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who he's taking captive. Right? Waging war in the spiritual realm can be illustrated in the physical. Israel entering into the promised land is an illustration of the faithful entering into the promised land of rest. We see from Israel's example a nation who, because of unbelief, was not able to receive the promises of God because they lacked faith. Only when they believed could they enter, but the faithless generation was kept out. In the same way, today, many born-again saints fail to receive the blessings promised because of their disbelief. We do not believe that God is strong enough to overcome the strongholds in our life. Before Israel was able to enter into the promised land, Moses told the nation of Israel to send out 12 spies into the land to see what the cities were like and to see if there were any strongholds in that land. Go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. This is what Moses told them to do. We're going to go and we're going to get to the promised land. We're going to get to the land that floweth milk and honey. But before we get there, we got to identify the enemy and we got to see if he has any strongholds there that's going to keep us out. We have to see what we're up against. In Numbers 13, verse 17, we read, "And Moses sent them to spy the land of Canaan, and he said unto them, Get you up this way southward and into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell in it, whether there be strong or weak or few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good or bad, and the cities that they dwell in, whether they be in tents or in what? Strongholds. Strongholds. The 12 spies returned, and they reported what they saw. Note the two different perspectives from the spies. 10 of them reported that the land was too strong to take. The cities were fortified. They had strongholds. They were large, and the inhabitants were giants. Only 2, Caleb and Joshua, rejected the view of the 10 spies, and they saw God as capable of giving them the victory over the giants and the strongholds of the land. The 10 spies rejected Caleb's plea, restating the hopeless situation of the nation that they found themselves in. All hope was lost. The nation would have to find another leader to take them back to Israel, to take them back to Egypt, rather. That's what they decided to do. Had not God intervened, because they wanted to turn around and kill Moses, who did they blame for all this? Moses, of course, the leader gets blamed for it. Everything would have went down. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, we read, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, We are not able to go up against this people, for they are what? Stronger than us." You can almost see the struggle. The faithful minority versus the faithless majority. The people were so defeated and faithless in God's ability that they would have stoned Moses, Joshua, and Caleb if the Lord didn't intercede. Numbers 14. They were planning to go back to Egypt after they selected another leader. The Lord would have destroyed this faithless generation, but you know what? Moses interceded. Remember, this rebellion followed the many miracles of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. They knew God could deliver. They saw the presence of God leading them in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Israel's plight illustrates a point. When we reject God's promises because of unbelief, we end up wandering in the wilderness because we refuse to take God at His word. This is the reason we need to put on the whole armor of God. Joshua and Caleb were able to see victory despite the strongholds in the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were wearing God's armor as opposed to the other 10 spies. They were willing to wage war on the Canaanite cities because they knew it wasn't them. They knew it would be the Lord that would give them the victory. That's the difference between fighting with carnal weapons and fighting with spiritual weapons. The other 10 were fighting with what kind of weapons? Carnal weapons. What's Corinthians tell us? Does it tell us to fight with carnal weapons? Does it tell us it's a fleshly war? See what they were depending on? See what they were leaning on? The 10? Israel sets the example for the faithful of today. Within that nation were two groups, those that believed the Lord and those that did not. Because of unbelief, the majority of the nation was forced to wander in the dusty and rocky Sinai for 40 years. We, the saved, grafted into the covenant of Israel, should take note. Why did Israel fail to enter the land? Was it because God was unfaithful? No. It was because the people didn't trust him. And that's the reason why strongholds stay in place in people's lives today. No matter what they tell you about their pride and their anger and their right and their jealousy, you know what the bottom line is? They don't trust God. They don't take God at his word. They don't think God can get them out of their situation. It's a facade. It's a cover. And you know what it's a cover for? Unbelief. Distrust against God. It may look like it's Rambo and Yukon, but it's not. It's the adversary building unbelief and distrust against God's word, because God is no longer the great deliverer, you know. God is no longer the supplier of all sufficiency, you know. God can't get you out of your problem because it's too big for him. God can't work in this situation between Rambo and Yukon because it's too big for him, right? People wouldn't trust God. Why did Israel tremble in fear at Goliath? And David boldly went into the fight. Whole nation trembling in fear. And a little old David, what'd he do? Let me in there. I'll show you how to do it. In both cases, the faithful trusted the Lord. Joshua and Caleb saw God open the Red Sea. They saw the cloud of fire. They knew who their God was. David, too, knew who his God was. And he knew that God was more than capable of giving him the victory. Before the battle took place in the field of David and Goliath, it took place in the mind. Before the battle took place in the field of the spies, it took place in the mind. The minds of the 10 spies were controlled by fear. Likewise, the army of Israel before the Philistine Goliath, the giant, was defeated in the minds long before an arrow flew. The battle began in the mind, and that's where it begins for us, in our minds. Where does the battle go for Rambo and Yukon? It's in the mind. You're going to do this God's way, or you're going to do it your way? That's what the challenge is. Can you believe that God will resolve this? Can you believe that God is as good as he says he is? Do you trust God? Will you trust him with your whole heart, or you just want to trust God with this much of your life? That's not trusting God. You're going to give him everything? You're going to trust him in your finances? You're going to trust him in your marriage? You're going to trust him in your life? You're going to trust him in your job? You're going to trust him in your relationships? Or are you just going to trust him where you're not driving? See? The key to Joshua, Caleb, and David was their reliance on the Lord's ability, his power, and his might. They were strong in the Lord. Are we as willing to move forward in trusting the Lord in our battles? In reviewing Israel's victory, what was the first action that they took before they entered the promised land? Moses told them to survey the land and to locate the what? Strongholds. Survey the land and locate the strongholds. We need to do the same thing. We need to locate the strongholds, the places in our life where the enemy has dug in. Remember, our battle is not physical, it's spiritual. Looking back at Israel, the first generation of the Exodus failed to enter into the land of promise. However, the next generation, now led by Joshua, did not fail. Because they believed, they prepared for the battle against the stronghold of Jericho. The Lord himself led the battle as the commander of the Lord of hosts. Joshua was merely to follow the Lord's orders. They succeeded. Jericho fell because the nation of Israel obeyed who? What fell in Jericho? What are the walls? The stronghold. Did Israel lift the hand to do it? Israel did what? Obeyed. Had they went against it and lifted a hand and thought it through in carnal ways with fleshly weapons, what would have happened? Who did they have to trust? Whose way did they do it? And what happened? The walls fell down what? Flat. That's it. Now, sense knowledge-wise, that doesn't make any sense in the world. If you're a military man, if you come from any type of military background, that makes absolutely no sense in the world. Walk around the city 6-7 times and blow some trumpet. Makes no sense in the world. How about Gideon? You got too many people, Gideon. Sense not wise, that makes no sense in the world. Get rid of your men, Gideon. And then take these pans and these trumpets, and when I tell you, go up to VeggieTales and blow them. And what happened? You see, God's ways are not our ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, right? Sure. And we have to relinquish our will. We have to relinquish our thoughts and accept what God says in faith, because you will never see the promises of God, the power of God, the deliverance of God, the miracles of God come forth in your life unless you walk out in faith like a child. Like a child. They believed, that's why they were successful. Jericho fell because they obeyed the Lord. We are to take a personal inventory of our life. What areas of our life cause us to fail? Like faithful Joshua and Caleb, we need to spy out the land of our minds. We need to determine where Satan's strongholds are. Our goal is to enter into the promised land of God's promises. The issue here is not salvation, but the issue here is victorious Christian living. So what have we learned in this segment? We saw that we're all involved in a spiritual battle, and that the weapons that we use must also be spiritual. If it was a carnal battle, then we could use fleshly weapons. We saw that many born-again believers are still using carnal weapons to do spiritual battle. And as long as they continue to walk by the flesh, they will never be able to demolish the strongholds in their lives or in the lives of anybody else. And you'll remember the example we looked at of Yukon eating the last cookie and offending Rambo. We saw that if an offense is committed, God's word records a spiritual protocol that we should follow. And we saw that spiritual protocol recorded in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Number one, go to your brother alone. Number two, take two or three witnesses with you if it doesn't work out. And if it still needs further work, take it to the what? Church. The point is, get the problem taken care of. Get a godly solution. Don't be tempted to build strongholds to hide behind. We must identify our strongholds, and then we must trust in the Lord our God and His ability and His weapons to demolish them. In our next segment, we will look at how unforgiveness defeats the believer every time and continues to keep him under Satan's control. God bless you.